here in North Hendon Kollel, Tehillim, Chapter Zion, Part 1, given by Gershon Hepner on January the 15th, 2006, Tes Vav Teves, Tovshin Samach Vav. Tehillim Chapter Zion, I'll go through the whole chapter first, and it's a long chapter. I can't imagine we'll finish it in 1 week. So I've booked in next week with Louis, booked in next week to finish the chapter. Shigoyim le David, asher shol Hashem, al divi chush ben yamini. Shigoyim means something like a mistake. It can also mean a song. Le David, we'll come back to all these details. Shigoyim. Yeah, same sort of, yeah, similar to root. That's spelled with an ayin.
Really?
Yeah, ayin. Shigoyim le David, asher shol Hashem, a shigoyim for David who sang to Hashem, al divi chush ben yamini, on matters of Cush the son of Yamini, and who he is, we'll see. Chapter 9. Hashem elekai b'chocho sisi, Hashem my God, I trust in you, hoshiyeni mikol rodfai, save me from all my pursuers, v'hatzileni, and save me. Pen yitchuv k'ariye nafshi, lest my enemy, lest he rip me apart like a lion, nafshi, he rips my life apart like a lion. Perik vein matzil, he'll pull me apart, but in matzil, and there'll be no one to save me. So Hashem, you save me instead. Hashem elokai, Hashem my God, if I've done this, we'll see what that is. Im yesh ovel b'chapoy, if there is iniquity in my palms, in my hands. Im gomelti shol mi ro, if I have dealt badly with other people who have dealt with me. I'm deliberately leaving it a bit vague at the moment. And if I have, if I have let my enemies slip away empty, then the enemy should chase my life, and he should catch up with me. Squash my life down, trample my life down to the ground. And he should make my honor rest forever in the dust. Very strange pasukim until we get to learn them. Kuma Hashem be'apecho, rise up Hashem be'apecho in your anger. Hinose ba'avris tzoriroi, raise yourself up in anger against my enemies. V'uro elai mishpat tzivisa, and allow me or enable me to work along with the judgment or justice that you have commanded. Vadas le'umim tzivideka, and the nation, a congregation of nations surround you. And you should return up to the place on high. Hashem yodinamim, Hashem should judge peoples. Shavtini Hashem kitzidki chusumi oloi, but Hashem should please judge me according to my righteousness and according to my perfection. Yigmo lo ra reshoim, Hashem should let all evil of the reshoim finish, should all come to an end. Vesuchene tzadik, and should establish the tzadik. Novochin libesucholoyes elekim tzadik, and Hashem who judges hearts and kidneys, Hashem is the tzadik. Mogini al Elokim, my shield is upon God, Meshiach Yishelev, who saves those who are straight of heart. Elokim Shefir Tzadik, Hashem judges the Tzadik, Vekel Zoim B'cholyom, and God becomes angry every day. All very vague translations till we get to see it. Imei Yoshuv, if he does not return, Charba Yiltosh, he will sharpen his sword, Kashto Dorach, he will bend his bow, as in bows and arrows, Vaychonuneho, and aim it. Aim the bow and arrow. Velo heichin kile maves. Pardon? Vachonaneha, aim. Take aim on with the bow and arrow. Velo heichin kile maves. He has prepared the vessels of death for him. For him. Well, who's preparing and for whom, we'll have to see. Chitzov ledol kim yifol. He prepares his arrows for those who pursue. Hinei chabel oven. Behold, he gives birth to iniquity, v'hara omol, and he becomes and he causes a pregnancy of omol, is something bad, of something evil, v'yolad shoker, and eventually gives birth to falsehood. Berkara, he digs a pit, v'yach berehu, and he digs it further, deepens the pit, v'yipol b'shachas yifol, and he falls into the abyss. Yoshev amole v'roshu, his evil should be returned back, should turn back onto his own head, for al kodkodo, and on his skull, chamosa yered, his violence should come down. Ode Hashem Kitzidko, I thank Hashem according to his righteousness, Vazam Hashem Hashem Elyon, and I give song to Hashem, to the name of Hashem on high. Oh, very hard to translate. This is the hardest chapter I've ever done so far. Out of the seven, this is the toughest one. Okay, so we translated it, but it's still impossible to understand. By way of introduction, I'll give you the Malbim's introduction to this chapter. The introduction is that that there's a man called Cush, who is some enemy of David. Who exactly he is, we'll see. Oh, Machlekes, big Machlekes, yeah. According to one view, it was Shaul. Let's just call him Cush at the moment. A man called Cush, he's an enemy of David. David is worried about him, and he's doubling to Hashem to be saved from this man, Cush. And the chapter explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu weighs up Cush versus David to see who should be the victor. Should it be Cush or should it be David? And it turns out that Cush is not to be the victor, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu favors David over Cush and eventually saves David from this man Cush.
You know, Cush because he was black.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sort of his standing.
Exactly.
Standing like a black person.
That's exactly what it would be. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see, I guess. Okay, so that's the introduction of the model. I'll put the notes there. Thank you. Right. Okay, Shigoyen. Let's go back to the English. Shigoyen le David, a Shigoyen for David, Asher Shal Hashem, who sang to Hashem, Al Divrei Cush ben Yemini, on matters of Cush, the son of Yemini. Oh, so what exactly does this word Shigoyen mean? Shigoyen means a song. That's one of the words for it. In fact, Rashi brings up Shat in the name of Menachem, one of the Rishonim called Menachem, whom Rashi often quotes, who defines it as being a musical instrument, one of the other musical instruments. I've tried to find out what kind of musical instrument it is. In the past we had this harp, do you remember the Nechilos, this harp? I think it had eight strings on that harp. I've tried to find out what kind of musical instrument it is, I suppose because I'm interested in music more than and got nowhere. And I couldn't find anybody who gives any indication what kind of instrument it is. I've no idea. But Rashi brings a pshat from Menachem, it's a musical instrument. Related to that is another pshat, that the word shigoyen comes from the word, what's the original word? Not sure. Not sure what the original word is, but the Me'iri brings up Shat, that it's related to Shin Gimel He, is obviously the root. And he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, chapter 8, pasuk Yotes, but Ahavosa Tishge Somid. You shall delight always in its love. And what love are we talking about? That pasuk is talking about the love of learning Torah. So, and that goes together with this idea, it's a musical instrument giving a beautiful sound, and it means to delight, Tishge, to delight. So Shigoyen, musical instrument related to this pshat of the sweetness of the music. The Me'iri gives the word arivoso, or arivoso, the sweetness of the music. That is the first pshat given by Rashi on this word shigoyen. Another pshat given by Rashi is that it's related to the word mishge, which means a mistake. Similar to the word shagoga, a mistake. What's the mistake? So to introduce what the mistake is, we have to appreciate who this Cush is. So as Howard said, the main shat on this word Cush is its reference to Shaul HaMelech. Shaul is this arch enemy of David. He was the father-in-law of David, chased David, pursued him, made several attempts on David's life. Why? Mainly because he saw David as a usurper of the crown. And it was almost a struggle, absolutely l'shem shamayim. You have to remember that Shaul, who does not get such a wonderful write-up in Tanakh, is described in Tanakh as being Bechir Hashem, choice one of Hashem, a phenomenal tzaddik, yet he had problems. He suffered from depression. He misunderstood David. He didn't appreciate that he'd lost the melucha over not fighting against Amalek the way he should have done, and that David took over the job of the melech and was divinely appointed by Shmuel to take over. Shaul didn't appreciate that he was meant to step to one side to make room for David as the new melech. And he viewed David constantly as a merit b'malchus, as someone who's trying to use up the crown. And there's halacha, merit b'malchus is chayv misa. So Shaul made various attempts, the Shem Shamayim made various attempts on David's life and pursued him through the deserts and so on to try and kill him.
But now, he ignored Shmuel.
he didn't appreciate that Shmuel had appointed David as the new Melech, and that that appointment was divinely instructed.
Shmuel told him that Hashem has taken the crown from him.
He couldn't accept it. He couldn't accept it, and he didn't.
He's got a problem.
He did have a problem. Sure, he had a problem, but it was L'shem Shemayim. It was, call it a mistake. I heard this many years ago from Clive Fairstone, as I'll say in his name, that it was a, call it a mistake, call it a result of Shaul's depression.
He went against Nobby.
Hard to say that. It's hard to say that because Shaul was such a tzaddik. They were all tzaddikim. Shmuel and Shaul and David were all tzaddikim and all playing this sort of, had this triangular problem between the three of them. But they were all tzaddikim, no question of it.
You listen to my Navi. This is from the Minotaur. The Navi, you listen to him.
But you could say that Shaul was of a Madrigal, that he maybe felt that Shmuel had made a mistake. Maybe that's how it was. But whichever way you look at it, you have to remember that all three were tzaddikim, and at worst it was some horrendous misunderstanding between them. And Shaul tried to kill David, and the tragedy is phenomenal, because after all, David was a great tzaddik, and David was his own son-in-law. Yeah? It's amazing, really. Anyhow, so bearing that in mind, bearing in mind that the pasuk referring to Chush ben Yamini, and Yamini of course being a reference to Binyamin, because Shaul came from the tribe of Binyamin, so now we have to understand what this word Shigoyin means. It's a mistake somewhere. What's the mistake? Well, Shaul died in battle. Shaul and his three sons all died in battle against the Pelishtim, and having done that, David breathed a heavy sigh of relief. After all, Shaul had been out to kill him for years. Now that Shaul had been killed in battle, although David bemoaned the loss, and it says by Yekonin David, he sang a kinah, a lament over the loss of Shaul. With that, he also rejoiced over the death of Shaul a little bit. Why? Because that meant that the pressure was off him. The man who was trying to kill him has now died. So with that, he breathed a sigh of relief. And you find that in Shmuel Beis, it's in Perek Kaf Beis. And the pasuk says, I'll read you the pasuk. By David Lashem, Eis Divrei Hashira Hazos, he sang Hashira, Beyom Hitzil Hashem, or maybe it's Hatzil, I haven't written the vowels. Hitzil Hashem also, Mikaf Kol Ovov, or Mikaf Shaul. On the day when Hashem saved him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Shaul, Biyom Hitzil Hashem also. On the day when he saved him, you'll find this pasuk, this chapter, is echoed almost word for word in Tehillim chapter Yud Ches, which I haven't yet learnt. That same chapter comes up. We've got a few more years to get there, I reckon, at this rate. At any rate, he sang the Shira. David sang the Shira to celebrate Shaul's death. Phenomenal, really. He had to say he felt very ambivalent about Shaul's death. It was the death of a tzaddik. On the other hand, it was also the death of the man trying to kill him. So he sang a shir on that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him, and the conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shaul is recorded in Moed Katan Daf Tes Zayin of a base. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a big telling off. How dare you sing a shira? The death of this great tzaddik. What kind of shira do you sing over the death of a tzaddik? And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to David and he said, you should know that if the roles would have been reversed, if you would have been Shaul and Shaul would have been David, you wouldn't necessarily have survived. Shaul died because of his muzzle, you survived because of your muzzle. But had the roles been reversed, you should know that Shaul could well be considered a bigger tzaddik than you. And how dare you sing a shira over that? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave David this big telling off for having sung a shira. So now David comes back on that and he says, Shigoyen the David, I made a mistake. I made a mistake when I sang that shira and he about Kush ben Yamini, about Shaul HaMelech. And that's Rashi's second shout as to what the mistake was. Another pshat about the mistake. What's the another pshat Rashi brings and again interpreting the words shigoyin as being a mistake? And he quotes the Gemara. The Gemara is in Sanhedrin, Sadi Hei Amud Aleph, a long, complicated piece of Akadata. After David killed Goliath, and Goliath was a descendant of Orpah, and possibly even the son of Orpah. Orpah had four sons, each of whom was a gibber, a giant, and a great man, and a sort of a great warrior. She was blessed with these four sons. It was a bracha to her, because when she finally took her leave of Naomi, she shed four tears. and she was rewarded for those 4 tears. It was wrong of her to leave Naomi, but she did so with a certain reluctance. She shed 4 tears, and those 4 tears granted her 4 great warriors as a result. One of them was Goliath, and the other was Goliath's other brother, Yishbi Benov. That's how he's called, Yishbi Benov. And he was this great giant, and after David killed Goliath, Yishbi Benov was out to kill David in revenge. It was again divinely ordained. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to David, and it's all recorded in Sanhedrin Tzadihei Amud Aleph. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to David and he says, you know, you are the indirect cause of the death of many great people, because you took refuge in the city of Nov. Therefore Shaul came along and he wiped out the city of Nov, all those Kohanim. So I hold you somewhat culpable for the deaths of all those Kohanim. Because Shaul killed out Nov, and he did so under the advice of Doeg HaAdomi, so Doeg also lost his life eventually, and I hold you culpable for that. And because of all of that, Shaul and his 3 sons lost their lives as well in battle against the Plishtim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Adomi and says, you know, I hold you somewhat responsible for the deaths of all these great people. And I now request of you to choose your punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to David, you choose your own punishment. I'll give you 2 choices. Either you yourself will be handed over to one of your enemies and you'll be killed, or your offspring will eventually come to nothing and your descendants will be wiped out. So David said, I'll take the punishment myself. I'll accept the punishment myself, that my offspring should survive. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that one day David was out hunting a deer, and the deer ran off, and David chased the deer, and that deer ran into the territory of the Plishtim, where this man, Yishbi Benov, was waiting for him, brother of Goliath, waiting for David. It's all in Sanhedrin. You learnt it, yeah? So what happens? So Yishbi Benov makes an attempt. It's a long, complicated, I'll cut it down a bit. So Yishbi Benov, his name is interpreted Yishbi Benov because of Nov, because David took sanctuary in the city of Nov and they helped him out. Yishbi Benov captures David and he ties him up basically, and he says, you know, that's how I'm going to get you. Meanwhile, back home, David's nephew Avishai ben Tzruya is given a simon that David is in trouble, and he makes a journey. He has kvitzat ha-derech, he finds David, he rides on David's own mule and he goes to catch up with David, and he finds David. And meanwhile, Yishbi Benov takes a sword. No, what did Yishbi Benov do? The first thing he did with David was to put him underneath a wine press, an olive press, very heavy beam of wood, and Yishbi Benov sat on top of it. He was a giant, so he'll crush David to death. And the ground softened, so that rather than being crushed, somehow he was the pressure. He didn't feel the pressure from underneath, and so somehow David survived that. Yishbi Benov then took his sword, and he held it vertically, and he took David and he threw him in the air, threw David up in the air, with the view that David will fall and he'll impale him on the sword. And Avishai ben Tzruya was on the scene by then, and he recited one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that allowed David to hang suspended in midair, so he never fell to the ground. And then Avishai ben Tzruya uttered another name of Hashem, and he came down slowly and safely, and then they ran off, the two of them, Avishai and David ran off, and Yishbi Benov chased them until eventually they turned around to Yishbi Benov, and they were able to kill him. They told him that Avishai had meanwhile killed Yishbi's mother, Orpah, and with that Yishbi Benov lost his strength. He got a shock and he lost his strength, and then they were able to overpower Yishbi Benov and they killed him. It's one of these breathtaking stories in the Gemara. A mule's not fast? No? Yeah, it's strong, it's not fast.
It's a donkey.
Yeah, donkey's not fast. I don't know.
Horse?
Yeah. So, And of course I've missed out the most important part. The most important part is that while David is up in the air and suspended in mid-air, Avishai turns to him and he said, you made a mistake. You chose the wrong punishment. You turned to HaKadosh Baruch and you said, I'll choose my punishment that I should die. Wrong punishment. Why? Because your children cannot survive without you. So better choose the other punishment. And this is the Shigoyen. So David says, oh, I made a mistake. I'll change my request. I previously requested that I should die and my children should survive. I'll change my request and I'll ask that I should survive even at the expense of my children. The point being, Avishai ben Tzruya says, don't accept a punishment now, i.e. loss of your own life, push it off to the future. The punishment should take place sometime in the future. Who knows, maybe there'll be a future zechus which will stave off that punishment in the future, but don't accept the punishment right now. And that's what David did, and he says, this is my mistake, this is my shigoyen, I chose the wrong punishment. Says Rashi, that's the second pshat in this word shigoyen, I chose the wrong punishment.
So if he changed his mind and he said that his offspring should not have,
they should come to nothing.
Maybe that's why. Also, another reason why his first son died.
Yeah,
could be another reason.
Yeah, let's see. At what stage in history was that? It could be indeed, because that would have happened probably happened later. Yeah. Oh. What actually happened to that klala, that punishment, his children coming to nothing? Well, it didn't happen because we have Malchus Beis David.
He died at 70.
He did die an early death, but that was related to giving years away to Adam Arishan. But more to the point is that he said he would have died a much more brutal and much earlier death at the hands of Yishmael Vinod. But that second punishment of his children, his offspring should all come to nothing, that didn't happen either because they survived. They had Malchus Beis David. So through Shlomo and all the future generations. Yeah. Third pshat, Rashi brings about this word shigoyen, meaning a mistake. What's the mistake? He says that he relates it to the mistake of when David cut off the cloak, the corner of the cloak of Shaul. That was when David was on the run and Shaul chased him, and on one of his journeys Shaul needed to go to the toilet, and he went into a cave where he went to the toilet, and the pasuk spells it out in great length, and how when he went to the toilet he did so with tremendous tzniyus, and David was, unbeknown to Shaul, David was in the cave and he crept up behind him, and David was encouraged by his men to kill Shaul. After all, Shaul is your rodef, you should kill him. And David said, no, I refuse to kill him, he's such a tzaddik, I'm not going to kill him. And in order to give a siman to Shaul that he could have killed him but didn't kill him, he cut off the corner of his cloak. The Medrash says that he cut off the corner of the tzitzis, and David lived to regret that terribly. He felt terrible about it after he cut off one of the tzitzis of Shaul, and he says, that was my shigoyen, I made a mistake, even though he did so with the best kavanah. I did this in order to show Shaul, and later on he went to Shaul and he said, look, you see, here's the proof that I could have killed you, I had you in my hands and I could have killed you but I didn't, and he did so in order to make Shalom. Nevertheless, it was considered a mistake. David considered a mistake, he calls it a shigoyim. Yeah.
It seems odd that he should change his request that his children shouldn't survive, because the Mashiach ben David, it's Mashiach ben Yosef is the quick one, Mashiach ben David is the one that survives.
Yeah. Oh.
Just so to say that the dynasty of David should survive, say Mashiach ben David.
It's very the cheshbon in that, and it was the advice of Avishai, the cheshbon was that maybe there'll be a future zechus which can save that future generation. Don't worry about it yet, you know, worry about yourself now, future generations, there's time to have a...
You can defer a bad gezerah.
Oh, that was his
good one happens, but a bad one you can change.
Yes. Oh, but that was Avishai's reckoning. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But right, let's see. Oh, I have to say this. When I saw that this word chush refers to Shaul, I had a crazy idea in my head. And it was so crazy, I put it out of my head straight away. And then, I couldn't believe it, I found it in one of the Rishonim on that Gemara in Moed Cotton about David singing the song over the death of Shaul. and it's brought by the Talmud of Rabbeinu Yechiel from Paris. One of the Rishonim was Rabbeinu Yechiel, and one of his Talmidim, another Rishon, and he brings there, I was amazed to see this, that the word Chush is related to the word Kish. Are you going to say that? Oh, you're nothing, I thought you were going to say it. Related, Shaul, you've heard this before. It's amazing because Shaul ben Kish, right? Shaul's father was Kish. That is spelled Kuf Yud Shin. Well, the Vav and the Yud are both sort of vowel type letters, so maybe you could explain that. But a Chaf should refer to a Kuf. Well, they're two totally different letters, even they happen to have the same sound. But Rabbeinu Yechiel from Paris, his Talmud, he brings this. He says, yeah, but that was it's Kuf ben Kohen. It's a Kaf in the place of the Kuf. So it's another reference to Shaul ben Kish. Interesting. The Targum on this pasuk translates it as Matul Diamar Shirosa, because I sang a song. This pshat that David sang the song Al Tavira De Shol Bar Kish, over the downfall of Shol Ben Kish. Dimin Shevet Nyomin, who of course came from the tribe of Nyomin. So we're getting the picture here. Kush is a reference to Shol, and the Shigoyim is one of these mistakes related to Shol. Now, in the Bereishis Rabbah, in Perek Lamed Zayin, Os Gimel, he brings a very interesting shot. Kush, in the Torah, in Parshas Noach, then in Parshas Noach, we're given the genealogy of Noach. Noach had a son called Chom, Chom had a son called Kush, and Kush had a son called Nimrod. And Nimrod became this Gibber Tzayed, he became this great hunter. Then the next Pasuk says, let me quote you the Pasuk. The Pasuk says about this, who are your Gibber Tzayed now? Hashem? Al Kain Ye Omar, that's why it said people refer to Ker Nimrod, Gibber Tzayed now Hashem. Anyone who's a Gibber Tzayed is likened, Ker Nimrod is compared to Nimrod. He was this prime example of a Gibber Tzayed. Anyone else is a Gibber Tzayed compared to Nimrod. So here, the Pasuk here refers to another person who is like Nimrod. In that Nimrod was a Gibber Tzayed. Who's that other person? Esav. Esav is the Ish Yodea Tzayed. That's it. He took Nimrod's coat. But he's the Gibber. Nimrod is the Gibber Tzayed, and Esav is described as Ish Yodea Tzayed. And that middah was passed down to all the future generations of Edom. So here, this word Chush is a reference to all of Edom. And David fought wars against Edom. That's recorded. He fought wars against Edom. So here, Chush ben Yimini is this other enemy of David, i.e. Edom, related to Esav, who was like Nimrod, who is also this Gibber Tzayed. That's brought by the Medrash Rabbah, Bereishis Rabbah on Parshas Noach. Now, let's see. The Ibn Ezra gives another pshat as to who Kush was, and that is, he says, not Shaykh. He doesn't like Rashi's pshat, which is strange, because Rashi's pshat comes straight out of the Gemara, that Kush refers to Shaul. He says, it can't be that we would refer to a great tzaddik like Shaul by the name Kush. Because the word Kush is almost a pejorative term, because it refers to black people. And that's considered a bit of an insult. And Shaul was this great tzaddik, and we wouldn't refer to him as by this word Kush. Says that Ibn Ezra, there was another man. He doesn't define him clearly. He says there was a man from Binyamin who is another enemy of David's, and his name was Kush. Simple. We know that David had many enemies from the tribe of Binyamin, because the tribe of Binyamin all sided with Shaul, because Shaul came from Binyamin. So here's another enemy, and his name was Kush. Not a reference to Shaul at all. That's how the Ibn Ezra learns. The Yalkut Me'amloes gives another pshat. Who's this person? Kush Shimi ben Gera from yesterday's Haftarah. Shimi ben Gera, Asheke Lelani, Klala Nimret says he hurled this horrendous curse at me. He cursed David when David was on the run from Avshalom. Shimi ben Gera cursed him and he tried to kill him. He threw big rocks at him to try and kill David. And Shimi ben Gera is the man referred to by this word Kush. So all various enemies of David. On the understanding that Kush is indeed a reference to Shaul, which is after all the pshat given by the Gemara, why should it be? Why refer to Shaul as Kush? So we say, in the same way that the Cushi, the black man has remarkable skin because it's an unusual, it's like considered to be an unusual colour, so too Shaul was a remarkable man in that he had unbelievable midas. In fact, Rashi says he was a tzaddik gomor. That's the lashon of Rashi. Like the Cushi, the black man has got a strange skin. So Shaul was a strange man in that he was a tzaddik gomor, most unusual man. Others learn in the same way the Radak learns this in the same way that a black man cannot change his skin, so too Shaul never changed from what? From his hatred of David. So he constantly hated David. Like the black man can't change his skin, Shaul never changed his opinion of David. Was always hated him. A bit of a kasha on this is asked by the Meiri. If it's a reference to Shaul, why not name him Beferish? Why not say Beferish? Why call him Cush? Call him Beferish? Give it Beferish. And the Meiri quotes a pasuk in Koheles, chapter Yud, pasuk Kaf. Gam b'madoacha melech al tekalel. Even in your thoughts, don't curse a king. And the pasuk goes on to say, because eventually the news will get back to the king, whatever you're thinking. So he says he did. So therefore, David is not speaking too highly in this chapter about Shaul, but he wants to do so at least in a hidden way. So he refers to him as Cush rather than the Beferish in his name. Another pshat as to why Shaul should be referred to as Cush is that we know that the word Cush is a reference to beauty. Why? Because at the end of Parshas Va'loscha, Miriam, Al Isha, Moshe married Zipporah, and Aaron and Miriam spoke badly. Al Isha, Hakushis Hashem Lokach, Al Odes Al Isha, Hakushis Hashem Lokach, that they spoke badly about this Isha Kushis, which means this black woman. They're referring to Zipporah. Why is she called Kushis? So the Targum on Unklus on that pasuk says, Al Esak Itisa Shapirta. Beautiful woman. And the word Cush is a reference to beauty, Dina Sif, this beautiful woman whom he married. And that Zipporah seems to be a very beautiful lady. And that. And it's also, I suppose, maybe a cynistic way of referring to her, you know, not to refer to her beauty, so they call her Isha Kushis. So at any rate, we see the word Kush is a reference to beauty. Shaul HaMelech was renowned for his beauty. He was that's the wrong word to use for a man, his handsomeness. That's the word
from Yosef.
Good-looking man. So he was blessed with that same style of beauty, maybe. Yeah, but we know it from the pasuk when Shaul, before he was crowned king, before Shmuel told him he was the king, and he was out looking for his father's donkeys, and he met these young ladies in the town, and he was looking for a novi. He said, "Is there a novi in town?" And these young ladies gave him this huge long answer. It's a very, very long answer which goes over two long pesukim, and they say, yes, there is a novi in the town, and you'll find him, he's about to bring a korban, and you find him in the town, if you wait here, you'll be, it's a whole long spiel. And the Gemara in Brachas quotes this long pasuk. In fact, Rabbi Cooper once told me it's the longest quotation in Tanakh that the Gemara ever gives, because the Gemara quotes the entire speech in full. So that's the and I think it's about two or maybe even three pesukim long. It's in Shmuel Aleph, and I think it's Perek Ches or Perek Tes. And Rabbi Kuvis is the longest quotation. And why did they give such a long drasha? One is speaks in this. So the Gemara gives two answers, and one of the answers is because the first answer is because Shaul was such a good-looking man, the young girls wanted to enjoy looking at him. They enjoyed speaking to such a good, handsome man, and so they gave him this long answer to schlep out the conversation. So that's why Shaul can be referred to as Cush, because he was a good-looking man. And that shot is, I think, is also brought by the Meiri. Yeah. That's different, because for a man it really is like the real problems with sneers. For a woman doesn't have these restrictions.
Yeah, so but it's brought there in that place.
It's brought there, yeah. Oh, but that's the same idea. They wanted this long conversation to have a good look at him. Yeah. Good. Wow, we've done the Pasuk Aleph. Okay. Right. Shuli Lerner said to me this morning, don't make the shir too slow, otherwise people will give up. Right, Pasuk Beis. Hashem in a kai b'chocha sisi, Hashem my God, I trust in you. Hoshieni mikol rodfai, save me from all my pursuers, vatsileni, and save me. Yeah. Oh. So the Medrash on Tehillim, the Medrash Shochetov, brings a nice pshat on this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Hashem elekai b'cho chosisi. The word b'cho, kaf base, 22. 22 letters of the aleph base. That's where I put my trust. In other words, I put my trust in your Torah. In the Torah which is written with the 22 letters of the aleph base, b'cho. Now the Medrash Shochetov also says, what's the pshat? We have two words here for salvation. We have the word Hoshieni and we have Hatzileni, and they're two very similar words. What's the difference between them? So it says the Medrash Shochetov, Hoshieni, save me so that I do not fall into Shaul's clutches. Hatzileni, save me that Shaul should not fall into my clutches. Because David, even though Shaul was chasing him and was out to kill him, David did not want to kill Shaul. He had every heter in the world to kill Shaul, but he didn't want to. Even when he had his opportunities and he was encouraged to do so, and his men encouraged him to do so, he refused to do so. Hatzileni, says the Medrash Shochetov, is a big chiddush. Save me from having to capturing Shaul. I don't want to capture him because I don't want to be faced with the terrible situation of possibly having to kill him, because I don't want to kill him. He's the Mashiach Hashem.
Hashem is save me from getting into a dangerous situation. Hatzileni is save me from getting out of a dangerous situation.
Fantastic. Azaz of the Malbim. Exactly how the Malbim puts it. Oh, the Hoshieni, save me from being captured. Hatzileni, if Chas V'Shalom I am captured, get me out. Absolutely. Oh, deliver me, yeah. Now I heard this is the Malbim, and it reminds me of something that Rabbi Cooper once said, and I wonder if you heard this from Rabbi Cooper. When we say Kelech HaPayim, when we take out Sefer Kelech HaPayim, Shachris, Kelech HaPayim, there are two minhagim how to say Kelech HaPayim. You know, and they're both printed in the Siddurim. Yeah? Oh, which one? So now, and one of the differences between them is that one of them says V'hoshieni mikol ra, and the other one says V'hatzileni mikol ra. So Rabbi Cooper once said to me that this is the difference between them. Hoshieni is stop, save me from being captured, and Hatzileni is save me even if I am captured. And Rabbi Cooper said that because they have two different meanings, Rabbi Cooper said that the shul minhag is to say both. Interesting? Did you know that?
No, the other one is Nusach Polin Godel, the litter. In other words, I'm just wondering whether historically, in one case we were anticipating trouble, and the Nusach Polin and litter was once we were in trouble.
Ah, because they had sorrow. I think they all had sorrow.
I'm just speculating. Interesting.
Yes. So Rabbi Cooper said we should say both. Yeah. Good. Pasuk Gimel. Pen yitrov ka'ariyei nafshi, lest he rips.
What is the difference between Hoshia and Hatzlicha?
Well, Hashem is save, and Hatzlicha is success. Hatzlicha.
Yeah. In Gemara and Therubin, so there was Michal Bas Cushi. She used to wear tefillin.
Yes.
Michal Bas Cushi.
And
used to wear tefillin.
She described as Cushi. Tadi Vavamadam, she's great. Michal, daughter of King Shaul. Oh, Cushi. That's it. Distinguishable, yes, yeah, so it's like, oh, by his good deeds, that's it. Yeah. So it's called Kashi Shkaya.
I managed to remember from 5 days ago.
Well, I didn't remember from 5 days ago because I didn't do it 5 days ago. Oh, Shkaya. Yeah. Erevin Sadi Vavam Dalaf, yes? Thank you. Yeah. Oh, good. Posuk, very up to Posuk Gimel. Where is this? lest he rip my life apart like a lion. Perek, he pulls me apart, but ain't matzil, and there's no one to save me. Yeah. So this word, let's see, yitshiv kai nafshi. Let's have a look at this word perek first of all. Perek is a very interesting word. Reb Shimshon Fal Hirsch, and I think this is in Parashas Truma, on about the word paroches. You can hear the word paroches is similar to the word perek. Paroches is perish chof, is the root, and perek is perish kuf. So Reb Shimshon Fal Hirsch explains there that he's got this whole thing that he says many, many times. I heard it, Norman, from my father-in-law. Years ago, that Reb Shimshon Fal Hirsch always learns that there are two letter roots in Lashon HaKodesh. You've got two letters in a root which are similar, then the words are related. So, and you can see it really simply in this word Peresh Kuf. Peresh Kuf to tear apart. First of all, we've got the word like Perek, which is a chapter, which is a division, something that's been separated. Peresh Resh is a crumb, Perurim, which is the breakdown of a piece of food into a crumb. Paroches, says Rosh Hashanah, is the divider. It divides between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And all these words are related. You've also got the word Vayavidu Mitzvah Mitzvah Yisrael Beforech, rigorous work which breaks the person down. And so Rosh Hashanah, you've got the Pei Resh is a root in itself as such, and it takes different letters for the third letter, but it's all to do with ripping something apart.
The modern grid is used to unload something.
Of course, Prika, yes, unload. Yeah. The Ibn Ezra points out, this is really interesting. Penitrov ka'ari nafshi, he rips me apart like a lion. And then we use the word perek. Says the Ibn Ezra, and I checked this up with a wildlife source. Yeah, listen to this. How does a lion, right? Says penitrov ka'ariye. How does a lion attack its prey? It kills by either by strangulation or by ripping out the throat. Goes for the throat, and I looked this up on the internet on a wildlife website, and that's how a lion attacks. Says the Ibn Ezra, Purik, the neck bone is called Mifrekes. You have that from Chulin, yeah? Mifrekes is the neck bone. It goes to the neck. That's the Aryeh. Is that amazing? Yeah, fantastic. It's like the Ibn Ezra, fantastic. The Radak points out, why does David go for the lion here? Penyutuk Aryeh, why a lion? So he says, because the lion is the Melech Shebachayus, that's the king of the animal kingdom, and Shaul was the king as well. So he's comparing Shaul to the Aryeh, because after all, Shaul was the king and the Aryeh is the king. The Malbim gives an interesting shout. Again, the Malbim always goes for similar words which are different. Yitroth, to tear apart. Purik, to tear apart. And the Malbim always says this whole thing throughout the whole of Tanakh. He says if there's a different word, it's got a slightly different meaning. And he always brings out the differences. Says the Malbim, Yitroth is the first stage. Pen Yitroth comes first. And Yitroth is to rip apart the flesh. Purik is to rip apart the bones. And that comes as a second stage. So it's two different words. That's how the Malbim understands. Malbim always these fine differences between similar words. Yeah, Pasuk Dalet. Hashem Elokai, Hashem my God, Im Osisizes. Now let's do a few psukim together because the Rashi takes a few psukim together. Hashem Elokai, Im Osisizes. If I've done this, but it's not clear what the this is, what have I done? Im Yesh Ovel Bachapoi, if there is iniquity in my palms. Im God, and it says David, if I've done something wrong, I'm happy to accept my punishment. Im Gomalti Shol Miro, if I've paid back evil to other people. If I've stripped off my enemy naked, I took that translation from the art scroll. Chalitza, exactly. Oh, exactly. Oh, exactly. We'll come to it in more detail when we get to the pasuk. If I stripped off my enemy naked, yeah, that's a good translation. It came from the article. Then, if I've done something bad, says David, I'll accept my punishment. Yiradoth oyev nafshi. Then let my enemy chase my life. Yasek v'yemes l'aris chayoy, etc. He'll crush me to the ground, etc., etc. So this is the idea. We have to take the pasuk together. If I've done something wrong, I'll accept it. So Rashi says, let's go back now to Pasuk Dalet. Hashem Elokai Imasisizos, if I've done this. What's this? What have I done? So Rashi says, it refers to the Pesukim that are coming up in a moment. Pasuk Hei and Pasuk Vav. If there's Ovel B'chapoy, if there's evil in my hands, if I've repaid other people badly, then I happily accept my punishment. So Rashi says, this word Zos refers to the what is coming up still in Pasuk Hei, if I've done bad to my enemies. The Metzudas David says, no, it refers to this act of cutting off the coat of Shaul. And he understands, the Metzudas David goes to this word im osisizos, and interprets it as a question, ha-im. Did I do anything wrong with this? No, I didn't do anything wrong. Was I out to insult Shaul? No, I had meant no harm. On the contrary, I meant good. I meant to be able to show Shaul that I could have killed him and that I didn't kill him, and I'm trying to make shalom with him. So he answered him. So this David understands this word im is ha'im. Did I do anything wrong with this? No, I didn't.
Well, we know that because his clothes made him cold.
His coat was up.
He didn't get any warmth from his clothes.
That's it. He was punished for it. So he was punished because he didn't show cover to the clothing, so he's punished at the beginning of Melachim Aleph. He needed Avisha to warm him up. Exactly. So, yeah. So it was a punishment. He was punished for that by being cold.
How can you say that he doesn't think it's a mistake?
Because it's not so terrible. That's what he's saying. It's not as bad. It's not as bad as you think. Basically, I meant no harm. That's what Mitzvah Stavit said. I wasn't out to insult him. Did I mean to insult him? To degrade? Yeah, the Targum on this pasuk in Masisizos speaks about the Shira. And he says, in Avedas Shirosa Hoda Bechavanto Visha. Did I sing this Shira, the Shira over Shaul? Did I do so with a bad Kavanah? No. I was happy that my life had been saved, but that does not contradict my sadness over the loss of such a tzaddik. So he's saying, Imosisizos, did I do this song with the bad intentions? You know, it's true, I was relieved not to be under threat from Shaul anymore, but I still lamented his loss.
Because he had to sing Shira over the loss of Saul, but if he lost Jonathan, his dearest friend.
Oh, yes, so true, yeah.
So how could he be so rejoicing?
Yeah, well, that's easily answered, because you find that David reacts with the kinnah as well. He sings that, he says this kinnah lament, he's broken over the loss of Saul and the loss of Jonathan, of course. Yeah. The Ibn Ezra learns differently. Rashi learned that this Imasisi Zos, what's this Zos, what's this? It's coming, it's to what's coming up in the next pasuk about if I did evil to other people. The Ibn Ezra says, it refers back to the previous pasuk, Pen Yitroch Aryeh Nafshi Perik Vein Matzil. Did, if I ripped up my enemies wrongly, did I, then, the, if I did wrong then I accept my punishment. So the Ibn Ezra learns it refers back to the previous pasuk, if I ripped up my enemies. The Malbim learns a little bit differently on this. The Malbim says that if I ever would have killed Shaul, I could easily have excused myself. I was absolutely, it was mutter, it would have been mutter for me to kill Shaul. If I would have killed Shaul, no one could ever have blamed me. But I didn't even do that. So Imosisizos, if I would have killed him, you could never have blamed me. But I didn't even do that. So I shouldn't suffer. Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch learns this word Ovel as being related to Ein Lamed Hei, to go up, and he says it refers to where people abuse high positions. In Masisi says, Im Yesh Ovel B'chapoy, if there's evil in my hands, he says it's a reference to evil where people abuse their esteemed positions. They've got a position of power, they abuse the power, that abuse is Ovel, because it's Ein Lamed Hei, to go up. So I'm in a position of being a melech, but I've never abused that position. Okay, Pasuk Hei. Yeah?
How do you say a yoke? All.
Yes, oh, yeah.
So if you abuse your power, you're making a yoke in someone else.
Oh, you could do, yeah, you could say that. You could say that an O is a yoke which sits above, it sits on top of the animal. That's why it's related to Ein Lamed Hei, yeah. Or my potter's house. Biblically Hebrew lads should know that. They don't, but they should.
So it's the same as
but it's referring to something which rests
on
heavily on something.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why it's Ein Lamed Hei, it goes on top of something.
If you abuse your power, that's what you're doing to someone.
That's also true, yeah, you're squashing them. Yeah, you're on top of them. Yeah. Good. Pasuk Hei. Im Gamalti Shelmi Ra, if I have dealt evil to other people, we'll come back to that word shalmi, it's a tricky word. I'm taking this translation from Rabbi Artskill, and if I've stripped off my enemy naked, yeah, that's that whole pasuk, if I've done anything wrong with that. So Rashi says, im gomalti shalmi, Rashi learns the word shalmi meaning someone who dishes out something, yeah, like Mishalim, to pay out. Im Gomelti, if I've dealt raw, badly, with Shomi, with someone with whom I've had dealings, that's the point. Yeah, if I've ever dealt badly with someone who has had dealings with me, that's how Rashi learns it. Whereas the Radak learns, no, sorry. Whereas the Metzudas David learns that Shalmi is a Lashon of Shalom. Have I dealt badly with someone else with whom I've had Shalom? Have I ever paid back badly? If I've to someone with whom I've previously had Shalom, they've been good to me, and if I've ever been bad to them, basically. And he says, when I had dealings with Shaul, during a time in history when Shaul was actually dealing well with me, in the early days, after I killed Goliath, and Shaul was very good to me, and I married his daughter, and so on, and those times when there was Shalom between us, did I ever do badly to him? Did I ever do anything wrong to him? No, of course I didn't. He says, well, I didn't even do bad to him later on when he was dealing badly with me. I never once did anything wrong to him. If we come onto the phrase where I stripped off my enemy naked, so Rashi learns that that's a reference to cutting off the me'il, because he cut off the corner of the me'il, it's stripping him naked because he was depriving him of some clothing. And again, he's pointing out, he says, I didn't mean any bad with that, I wasn't trying to kill him, I wasn't trying to, I didn't want to kill him, I wasn't trying to insult him, I simply took it away. And Rashi explains that, as you said, Jack, is to strip something off, to remove something, hence the word chalitza, the chalitza Na'ala mi'al raglo, in an act of chalitza, she removes his shoe from her point, or she loosens the shoe from his foot. The Ibn Ezra says, the Ibn Ezra learns this word reikom as being a reference to tzorari, where my enemies have done bad to me, reikom, for nothing. They had no reason to be bad to me, and I, even though they had no reason to be bad to me, nevertheless they were bad to me, and even though they were bad to me, I was good to them. That's how the Radak, that's how the Ibn Ezra learns Pshat. And yeah, good. Okay, let's move on. Pass. We okay for time? You alright with this? Yeah, carry on a bit. Or are you okay? You okay? She's down on the pasuk. Silence. Let's have a look at it. We'll do another pasuk. Pasuk of Yiradif Oyev Nafshi. My enemy should chase me. If I've done all this, if I have done bad, then my enemy should chase me for Yasek, and he should catch me up for Yirmis La'ores Chayoy, and he should crush me. I think it means crush me down to the ground. Uchavedi La'ofa Yashkin Sela, and he should make my honor rest forever in the dust. Now, the first word is a very hard word, yiradof. So all the mafreshim say something similar. The word yiradof is a mixture of the kal and the piel. It's two different grammatical forms. In the kal, it would be yiradof. In the piel, it would be yiradof. And this word, yiradof, is both together. It's both of them. It's a hybrid of both the kal and the piel. What's the difference between them? In the kal, yiradof would mean he will chase. In the piel, yiradof, it would mean he would make other people chase me. It's a bit similar to like you have in Parashas Bo'era. It's got Vayechezak Lev Paru. The heart of Paru was he hardened his heart. Vayechezak Lev Paru. I'm sorry, got that wrong. Mistake. Vayechezak Lev Paru is in the Kal, and that would be the heart of Paru was hard, but and that's in the Kal. In the PL, which you also find, Vayechazek Hashem es Lev Paru. Hashem caused the heart of Paru to be hard. To be hard. So Yiradoth in the Kal would be he will chase. Yiradef in the PL would be he will make others chase. Well, this word is a mixture. Why is it in the mixture? So the Mitzvah Tzion points out, and the Mitzvah David points out, they all point out, because Shaul did both. He chased me, and he got his men to chase me as well. I saw one of the Pesukim, he was being chased by Shaul had 3,000 men all after David. So he chased me himself, that's Yiradoth. He got others to chase me, and that's Yiradoth. And this word Yiradoth is a mixture of them both. Interesting. The Asig La'Ores Chayai, he'll catch me up, basically, and La'Ores Chayai, he'll put my life down to the ground. So the Mitzvah David points out that it means Koli Bechayoi, for all my life. It's not just my life, it's my entire life. He'll push me downwards. Yeah. The Radak points out, yeah, Yiradov Oyev Nafshi is my life. He wasn't just out to hurt me, he wasn't just out to give me a good beating. Nafshi was out to kill me. Shaul was out to kill me. The Radak asks an interesting kasha. You've got the word Sela in this pasuk. He'll push my honor down to the ground. Sela. What's this word Sela? So we had the word Sela before, we spoke about it, and it's a reference, it's a musical cadence, and it also refers to, it's a stoppage, it's a pause, it comes to the end of a section. And the Radak says, I don't understand it. Ve'in lo ta'am b'inyan. He says, there's no reason for this word Sela. What's the word Sela here for? Where's the end of the section here? So the Malbim, and the Radak leaves it shvei, it doesn't give an answer. The Malbim gives an answer, and the Malbim says, you should see, there's a clear difference between part one of this chapter and part two, and the end point of part one is here at the end of this pasuk. At this stage, till now David is speaking about what his enemies might do to him if he's done anything wrong. From now on, David changes his tune and he is a tefillah HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save him. So the Malbim answers the kasha from the Radak. In fact, the Malbim's answer is so simple, it's a clear, the Radak didn't come up with it. The Sela indeed marks is the end point of a section. Till now he's just been speaking about his enemies who've been after him, now he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save him. Tehillim, chapter Zion, part 2, Shir given by Gershon Hepner to North Hendon Kollel, 22nd of January 2006, Kaf Beis Teves, Tafshin Samach Vav. Okay, so continuing now with Pasuk Zion. Pek Zion, Pasuk Zion. Just a quick recap. David HaMelech is addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu concerning one of his enemies. Who the enemy was is a matter of machlokes. It could have been Shaul, it could have been Shimi ben Gera, according to one view. Other verse Peshatim. Till now he's been admitting that if he has done anything wrong, then he willingly accepts his onesh. But from now on, from Pasuk Zayin, he now is mispalel. He asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should vanquish his enemies and that he should be able to come through the situation in one piece. Okay, Pasuk Zayin. Kuma Hashem be'apecho, arise Hashem be'apecho in your anger. Hinose ba'avros tzeriroi, lift yourself up ba'avros in anger. Evro, fazam, evro is an expression of anger. So lift yourself up in anger, tzeriroi against the enemies. V'uro elai mishpot tzivisa, and awaken in me the law that you have commanded. What on earth does that mean? Awaken in me the law that you commanded. There is a mishpat, there's a law that you have that you've given, which entitles me and no one else to the melucha. So please awaken within me that law. The translation that I've copied here, I think from art school, is enable me to deal with them, with the enemies, according to your law. So there's a law that you've previously commanded. Exactly what that law was, we'll see. Okay, so Rashi explains, what's this? Kum Hashem b'apecha, arise HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'apecha in your anger. Rashi explains that this is a reference to fighting against the arch enemy, one of the many arch enemies of David, a man whom we mentioned last week, Yishbi Venov. His name was Yishbi Venov. He was a brother of Goliath, and one of the Plishtim. And here David HaMelech is asking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be able to give him, should arise up in anger against all those enemies, against Yishbi Venov and the rest of the Plishtim. The word Hinose ba'avos teroroi, lift yourself up in anger against the enemies, Rashi explains that, actually it might not have been Rashi, I'm not sure, someone explained this word Hinose is a nifal.
Yeah.
But occasionally you'll have a nifal with a reflexive meaning. So it's got the meaning of a hispoel, even though it's actually in the nifal. Hinose, and it's as though it says tisnase, lift yourself up, tisnase. So hinose, it's a nifal taking the with a reflexive meaning. And it means, Rashi explains, it means show yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please show yourself against the enemies, to be above them and supreme over them, and show yourself to the world in all your full glory, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're able to deal harshly with Rishayim. That's Hinose. Let's lift yourself up.
Raise yourself up. It's like Nose is a tzivoy, and the
Hinose
is like a poetical form.
Nothing Hinose, I think, is a standard imperative in the Nifal.
The Nifal,
Like Hikosev, Himoletal Nafshecha. Himoletal Nafshecha, which I think is in Vayera. When they said to the Malachim said to Lot, Himoletal Nafshecha, run for your life. Himalate. So Hinose, I think it's a standard imperative in the Nifal. Yeah. Now, what's this Ura Elai Mishpat? Ura Elai Mishpat. So I've written here, enable me to deal with them according to your law, according to the law that you've commanded. Now the question is, what is this law that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded? Where does it come from? What is the law? So Rashi brings two psukim. First one comes from earlier on in Tehillim chapter base, Pasuk Tes, Teroim B'Shevet Barzel. Punish them or break them with an iron stick. We had that back in Perek Beis about 25 years ago. Break them with this iron stick. So Rashi says, this is the law, this is the mishpat that David is referring to. You've commanded that we should be able to smash down the enemies with an iron stick. Now please go ahead and enable me to carry that out. Enable me to use that mishpat that you've commanded. Rashi brings another pshat from a pasuk in Mishpatim. It's Pashas Mishpatim Perek Kaf Gimel Pasuk Kaf Beis, where the pasuk says, "Kiyim Shomer Tishma V'Kolo." If you surely listen to his voice, V'Asisugal Hashem Adabe, you do everything that I say, then V'Oyav Ties Oyevecho, I will make an enemy of your enemies. And that's the mishpat that Rashi says, this is the mishpat that David is referring to. So he's inviting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to play out his role as as an enemy of David's enemies. So please rise to that and become an enemy that you said you would become, and therefore defeat my enemies. The Metzilas David brings a different pasuk. He brings a pasuk from Pashas Hazinu. It's Perek Lamed Beis pasuk Mem Aleph. Oshiv Nakom Letzoroi. There we are. Oshiv Nakom Letzoroi. I'll bring down vengeance upon my enemies. V'lim sanai ashalem, and I'll pay back those who hate me. V'sochez b'mishpat. There's that word mishpat. V'sochez b'mishpat yodi. Let my hand grasp judgment. It's all about taking vengeance against the enemies, and it's got that key word mishpat. That's the link to our pasuk. V'sochez b'mishpat yodi. Okay, so these are the various ideas as to what David HaMelech is referring to when he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to enable him to carry out the law that he's given, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given. The Targum learns this the word Be'apecha, Kuma Hashem Be'apecha, rise Hashem in your anger. The Targum translates it as Kum Hashem Besukfach. Now Besukfach is Tokef, which means strength. So it's a slightly different slant, not so much anger but more strength. Yeah, and the what exactly is this mishpat? So I mentioned it's actually from the Tisvis Rid. the Tosfos reads Pirush on Tehillim, that it's a reference to that I should become the Melech, to give me the Melucha rather than to give anyone else the Melucha. That's this Mishpat that the David HaMelech is referring to. We're just on Pasuk Zayin. Pek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. So now there's an amazing piece of Medrash on this Pasuk. The Medrash Shechetov, one of these Medrashim that we learn without really understanding. Piece of Medrash Shechetov on the phrase, Kuma Hashem Be'apecha, arise Hashem in your anger. So the Medrash Shechetov explains that when David HaMelech went up on, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai to receive the first Luchas, and of course down below Klal Yisrael make the Egel and they start worshipping the Egel, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent five Malachim to go and attack Moshe. The five Malachim are all named and they've all got these nasty aggressive names: Af, anger; Chema, anger; Ketzef, anger, all different expressions of anger; Hashmid, destruction; and Mashchis, also destruction. Five different Malachim, each with these five destructive forces against David, against Moshe. So Moshe, there on Har Sinai, Moshe then davens, and we say the pasuk is in Kisisa, Zecher LaAbraham LiYitzchak LiYisrael Avodecha. Kosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu invokes Zechus Avos in order to obtain Mechila for Klal Yisrael. And he says, Zecher LaAbraham LiYitzchak LiYisrael Avodecha. With the mention of those three, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed three of those five Malachim against Moshe. Which three? Ketzef, Mashchis, and Hashmeid. So now Moshe is still up against two more Malachim. The last ones being Chema, Af, and Chema. And that's where we have the pasuk again in Kisisa, where it says, "Vayinochem Hashem al ha-ra'ah." HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you like, turned back on that evil. So he's taken away three of the damaging malachim, corresponding to the three of us. And we see that Moshe Rabbeinu is still fighting against these two malachim, Af and Chema, because there's a pasuk in Devarim, Pek Tes, pasuk Yud Tes, in Parshas Ekev, where it says, "Ki yogurti mipnei ha'af." And it's a reference to that time when Moshe has to go up to collect the second luchas. I was scared. What made me scared? Af and Chema, says the Medrash. It's these last two out of the five malachim ready to attack Moshe. So Moshe then turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, and I'm quoting this in the Medrash, "Kum at bechad v'ama bechad." You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rise up against one malach, and I'll take the other malach. I can't fight two malachim simultaneously. I'll take on one, and you take on one. And with that, I'll get through the situation. And that is the pshat in this pasuk. Says the Medrash, that's what this pasuk means. It says, "Kuma Hashem ve'apecho." You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rise up against Af. So Moshe says, "I'll take on Chema. You take on Af. Kuma Hashem ve'apecho." Amazing Medrash, isn't it? You have this also. Hinose. What's the pasuk? Hinasi ba'avros tzereroi. What's this lashon of avros? So there's a medrash rabbah in Shmos. It's the end of Pek Yud Zayin in the Shmos rabbah, where the medrash says that when it came to Klal Yisrael bringing Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, Pesach Mitzrayim, the pasuk there says va'avar Hashem limgofes Mitzrayim. It's in Pek Yud Beis, Pasuk Kaf Gimel. Va'avar Hashem limgofes Mitzrayim. Hashem will cross over to smite Egypt. Now that word va'avar links in with this word ba'avros. And the Medrash there is at length to point out that Klal Yisrael were busy on Pesach Mitzrayim. They're busy doing all the mitzvahs of Seder night. They had to bake the matzahs, they had to get the maror, they had to paint the blood on the doors, they had to roast and eat the Korban Pesach and so on. So while Klal Yisrael were busy doing their mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was busy punishing Mitzrayim. And that's the solution, and links into this word, Ba'avros Tzeroi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can express his anger against the enemies when Klal Yisrael are busy doing their mitzvahs. So our mitzvahs will earn us the revenge against the enemies of Klal Yisrael. Good, that's Pasuk Zayin. Okay, Pasuk Ches. Va'adas le'umim tesevevekah, and a congregation of peoples surround you. Va'olecha, and above them, Aliyah, expression of Aliyah, going up above them, La Morom Shuva, return to on high, return to your place on high. Now, the big question is, who is this Adas Lu'umim? Who's this congregation of peoples who surround HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So there's a very simple machlokus on this matter. So according to Rashi, it refers to non-Jewish United Nations. Non-Jewish, the non-Jewish Rishoyim. Rashi puts it as the Gayosos Shel Odekechovim, the bands of the military bands of the non-Jews. And what's this pshat in Tesovavek? Oh, they surround you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, when non-Jews surround you, Hashem, davening for success against Klal Yisrael. Interesting? That's how Rashi learns. That the non-Jewish enemies of Klal Yisrael will turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and daven that when they attack Klal Yisrael, they should succeed against Klal Yisrael. What, they daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for success?
Muslims.
Oh, the Muslims,
And they daven.
They daven that they should succeed. Yeah? Oh, yeah. So that's this. So Rashi says, this is the Adas Lu'umin, when these non-Jewish congregations to Sedevek surround you in order to daven for success against us, then, V'oleho la'morim shuva, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should retreat. Go upwards and away. Go up and away from these non-Jewish people. Don't listen to their tefillahs. V'aleha la'morim shuva. Go upwards into your celestial abode, so that you should be able to ignore these non-Jewish requests. Rashi points out, very interesting. Rashi translates the word morim. He gives a French word for it, which is spelled as resh pei vav shin. Resh Pei Vav Shin Balaz. So I looked it up, and of course it's in one of these forum which give the old French words. Do you remember Michael Greenberg? I was taught in maths in Hasmo. Michael Greenberg, short. You must have thought lots of Michael Greenberg. His father, they lived in Beechwood Avenue near Kinloss. His father wrote a sefer on the French words in Tanakh and Shas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he gives it as repose. Resh Pei Vav Sin. It's repose and refuge.
Very nice.
Yeah? That's the connection to English, yeah. So all that is learning according to Rashi, that this Adas Le'umim are the non-Jewish nations who daven for success against us. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they daven, retreat, go back to your place on high, don't come near them, don't listen to their tefillahs. The Tosfos Rid learns totally differently. He says, who's this Adas Le'umim? It's the Yidden. The Adas Le'umim to Sedereka. When congregations of the Yidden surround you, davening HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tefillah, when they surround you and they daven for help, then V'alech La'amarim Shufa, rest your Shechina upon them. Go up on high and quite the reverse, totally the reverse. Go up on high and show them that you are the almighty being that you are, in the Morim and in the celestial realms, something along those lines. That's how the Tosfos Rid explains it. Totally different. And rest your Shechina on Klal Yisrael from on high. So totally different pshat to Rashi's. The Radak learns similarly to that, and the Radak defines Adas Le'umim as Adas is a reference to the whole of Klal Yisrael, which is made up of Le'umim, made up of peoples, and those peoples are the 12 Shvatim. That's how the Radak learns. Good? Okay. Yeah, Pasuk Tes. Hashem Yodin Amim, Hashem should judge the peoples. Shofteini Hashem ketzidki uchusumi aloi. Judge me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to my righteousness and according to my perfection. So here, David HaMelech is comparing himself to the nations.
That's actually a tough thing to say, isn't it? Because I would have thought you would have said, judge me, Hashem, because even though I'm not worthy.
Oh, even though I'm not worthy. Yeah, see, yeah. So David is saying, it seems quite, conceited almost. I'm a tzaddik, I'm a tomim, you know, judge me according to my tzmimus and my tzikus.
In fact, he's asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu to judge him on a higher level than other people.
You could say he just judged me according to what remains of my tzedakah, so what remains of my perfection.
Could be, yeah.
I mean, there's not much left, but just the, all I've got to offer.
Could be. It could also be that maybe he's realistic about it. Maybe he knows that in comparison to the surrounding Amim, he is a tzaddik and a tomim in comparison to them. Maybe he's being realistic about it. I don't know. Yeah.
That is confusing. The cup is there.
Kurtzidki.
Yeah, according to my question.
Yeah.
If the cup wouldn't have been there, it was like judgment for the Baruch Hu of course of the acts.
Rashi seems to say that, similar to this, he's saying that they judge the nations harshly because after all they deserve it, and judge Klal Yisrael well because after all they deserve it. And it's a contrast of the Amim against Klal Yisrael, and he is the representative of Klal Yisrael here. Ketzidkiya Chusumi represented Klal Yisrael. The Radak learns a little bit differently. The Radak learns Shofteini Hashem. Sorry, missed one minute. Yeah, the Radak learns Amim as being not a reference to the non-Jews, but a reference to Klal Yisrael. Again, it's totally different. Rashi learns Amim is reference to the Odei Kehovim. Radak learns Amim is reference to Klal Yisrael, and he says Hashem Yodin Amim. Shofteini Hashem Ketzidkiya Chusumi. Judge me in the way with the judge me taking into consideration the way I have behaved towards the Amim. Who's this Amim? Klal Yisrael. So judge me in the way I behaved towards them. Have I behaved towards the rest of Klal Yisrael? Perfectly. I've never hated Klal Yisrael. I've never done anything wrong to them. So please judge me in accordance to my association with the rest of Klal Yisrael. And that's how the Radak learns the word Amim. It's a totally different pshat. Not the non-Jews, like Rashi learns, but the Jews, as the Radak learns. Different pshat. Okay, Pasuk Yud. Yigmar no ra reshoim. He, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should now put an end to the evil of the Rishoyim. Usachonim Tzadik, you should please establish the Tzadik. Uvorchin libo sechloyos elokim Tzadik. And you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the Tzadik, and you can judge hearts and kloyos. Kloyos means kidneys, but we always use it to refer to the innermost thoughts of a human being. The conscience, yeah. A person's mind, how he thinks. Now, exactly what who is the subject of the first half of the pasuk? Yigmar no ra reshoyim. So Rashi learns who should finish off the evil of the reshoyim. Rashi says it means it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should put an end to the evil of the reshoyim. That's how Rashi learns. Whereas the Metzudas David says no, the ra is the subject of this pasuk. Yigmar no ra. Who should put an end to the Rishoyim? Ra. The evil that they themselves do should finish them off. So either Yigmar no ra means HaKadosh Baruch Hu should finish off the evil of the Rishoyim, as Rashi learns, or as the Mesudas David learns, no. The ra should put an end to the Rishoyim, should bring about their downfall. So it's a slightly different slant on the pasuk, on how to learn it. And then Rashi goes on to explain that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the tzaddik, you're the Elokim tzaddik, and you can judge who is a Rasha and who's a tzaddik. So therefore, please do so. Judge the Rishoyim, judge the tzaddikim, and bring down the Rishoyim and establish the tzaddikim for all time. And put them in a good position. Of course, we're using this idea of the kloyos, the kidneys. So the Ibn Ezra says the kidneys apparently are mistorim. They're hidden away inside the body. I don't know, are they far beneath the surface? I've no idea.
No.
No, they're not.
About that. Well, it depends on the layer of fat that you carry.
Why are you looking at me? Yeah. So, the Ibn Ezra says that this nistorim, so it's like the human brain.
Within the body, yeah.
Within the body. So it's nistorim. I mean, but why dafke? The kidneys, why choose the kidneys to represent the conscience or the human brain? We did it in Dublin as well. Both in Kloyes. We say it there. Yeah, Kloyes for Leif. Yeah, yeah.
It's the, just another meaning of the inner, the conscience, the inner part.
Yeah.
I mean, the ancients didn't know about the brain where we think.
No.
I don't think they did. They thought the heart was the seat of the emotions, and the Kloyes were the soul, the source of conscience and judgment. They didn't know. It doesn't matter. It means,
yeah.
We know what it means.
Yeah, I saw one chart which I've jotted down, and I can't remember. I didn't write down where I saw it from. That because there are two kidneys, he quotes a pasuk from Keheles Perek Yud, pasuk base, which says Lev Chacham liyemino v'lev kesil lismolo. The heart of the Chacham is on his right, and the heart of the fool is on his left. And on that basis, we learn that the two kidneys, one represents the Yetzer Tov, one represents the Yetzer Ra. The one on the right represents the Yetzer Tov, and the one on the left represents the Yetzer Ra. That's why the kidneys represent the Yetzer, the Yetzer Tov, the Yetzer Ra, they're the two kidneys. So in the art scroll on Tehillim, quotes a very nice pshat from a Mordechai Gifter. It says, why does the pasuk choose the kidneys to be this representation of Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Ra? Because the kidneys filter the blood. Is that right?
Yes.
The kidneys filter the blood. And the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Ra filter out what's good and what's bad and what to do and what not to do. And the human brain makes the decisions, filtering out one thing from another, so the kidneys do have a similar function of filtering good from bad. I haven't seen this anywhere, but I assume that the reason why kidneys are called kloyos in Lashon HaKodesh is from the root kaflamet hay, which is to finish off. Because as far as I understand, please correct me if I've got my medical stuff wrong, that the kaflamet hay is to finish off, and the kidneys help to produce the urine.
Yes.
Which is the end product of the digestive system.
You know, all the metabolic processes in the body, all the chemistry of the body is... What's not required
is what not
is, yeah. is filtered out.
It's filtered out through the kloyos, through the kidneys. So that's kaflamet hay, because it finishes off the process.
Okay.
Yeah, could be. It's a possibility. Yeah. Okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Mogini al Elokim, my shield is upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, I rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for my protection. Moshiach Yishrei Lev, he saves those who are straight of heart. People who concentrate more on the Yetzer Tov than the Yetzer Ra, Yisholev, someone who's straight. The Alkut Memnos points out on this that it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my Mogen, my shield is upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Namely that not only does he shield me, but he, so to speak, carries the shield for me. So he's even doing that job for me on my behalf. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my he's actually carried the shield for me. Mogini al Elokim. The art scroll gives a nice translation which I wrote down here. Mogini al Elokim. I trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be my shield. Similar sort of idea. Okay, Yud Beis. I didn't find much to say otherwise on that pasuk. Yud Beis. Elokim shofet tzadik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges righteously. V'keil zoem b'chol yom, and God becomes angry every day. And this is quite a big pasuk to get through. Elokim shefet tzadik, Hashem judges righteously. Now the question is, how do you understand that word tzadik? So Rashi says that it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges b'tzedek, he judges righteously. Not that he judges a tzadik, but he judges with tzedek, he judges with righteousness. That's how Rashi learns, while the Metzudas David learns slightly differently. He says, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the judgment of tzaddikim, and in contrast, he'll become angry against the Rishoyim. So, Elokim Shefet Tzaddik, Hashem judges the tzaddik, and comes out with a good verdict. And the contrast, V'keil Zoem V'chol Yom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes angry against the Rishoyim every day. That's how the Metzudas David learns. So, he interprets the word tzaddik to mean that literally, Hashem judges the tzaddik, whereas Rashi learns it means tzedek. It's the adjective, the righteousness, rather than the noun. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges with righteousness rather than the Hashem judging the tzaddik himself. The Malbim has a totally different pshat on this. The Malbim learns Elokim shofet tzaddik, Hashem judges the tzaddik, v'keil, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu we now borrow the verb from the first half of the Pasuk Shofit. Kodesh Baruch Hu again judges Zoim b'chol yom, he who becomes angry every day. So it's a totally different shot. Hashem will judge both the tzaddik and also the one who becomes angry against HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day, i.e. a Rasha. That's how the Mabim has a Vedic Chiddush there. The Kel Zoim b'chol yom being the object of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment. The Hashem will judge not just the tzaddik, but also will also judge he who becomes angry against HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day. Kel Zoim b'chol yom. That's how the Malbim learns Pshat. Now, hang on a second. What? Yeah, that's a good question. So why not understand Tzaddik? He is a righteous judge. Yeah, and that's similar to the way Rashi learns Shofet Tzedek, like he judges with righteousness.
Tzaddik is a righteous one, but he is a
righteous Tzaddik. So Tzaddik is the adjective of Shofet.
Yeah.
Don't know. Maybe that's similar to what Rashi's saying. Not sure. Okay. Now, on this pasuk, the Kel Zoim b'chol yom is a very, very interesting piece of Gemara. The Gemara is in Brachas Tav Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara is talking about Bilam HaRasha. Now, Bilam, of course, is described in Parshas Balak as being V'yodea Da'as Elyon. He knew the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knew the knowledge of the Most High. So the Gemara Sakasha against that on Bilam. What do you mean he knew the knowledge of the Most High? He knew the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He couldn't even make head or tail of his own donkey. So the reference to that is the whole argument that Bilam had with his donkey, where the donkey accused him of having this relationship with him, and he couldn't answer, and he couldn't get the better of the donkey. The donkey got the better of him. So the Gemara says, what do you mean that Bilam knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu's das, Yodea das Elyon? He didn't even know the das of his own donkey. So the Gemara refines the pshat, and the Gemara says that Bilam knew the one moment in every day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes angry against Klal Yisrael. And that's learned from the pasuk of Kireg Aviapo, which is a pasuk in Tehillim chapter Lamed. Kireg Aviapo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has anger, rega, for one rega. And Bilam knew when that one moment was, and his plan was to utilize that one moment in order to curse Klal Yisrael. How long is a rega? So the Gemara defines it as being a 58,888th of a sha'ar, of an hour. There's one over 58,888. Yeah? That's the definition of it, which Rabbi Arskel did the maths for me and tells me that translates into being approximately, and I still remembered how to do the approximately equal sign, of a 16th of a second. Yeah? Approximately a 16th of a second. Later on, the Gemara later actually gives another pshat as to how long a rega is. How long is it?
Of a rega.
Oh, no, of a shot. It's discussed in the Mefarshim of the Gemara. Well, how do you define a shot? Is it a shot, as we know, a 24th of a 24-hour day, or is it what we now to call an hour? Is it a shot zmanis, because the times do change over the seasons and places and so on? Exactly how you define it, it's a bit difficult. But that's how it defines a rega. 1 over 58, 888, of a shot. The Gemara says that. Where's the Gemara get that from? No idea. That's the definition of rega. Later on, the Gemara gives another definition of rega, and this comes in the name of Rav Ovin, that a rega, the duration of a rega, is the time it takes you to say the word rega. Okay? And Rabbeinu Tam, I saw all this quoted in the article on Brachas, gives another pshat on how long it is. He defines it as being approximately just a little bit more than a quarter of a second, which actually goes very well with the duration it takes you to say the word rega. That could be understood to be about a quarter of a second, approximately, right? And the article gives a whole cheshbon that brings from the Chafetz Chaim. He did a calculation as to how many words a person can say a minute, approximately 200 words a minute. So it's reasonable you should be able to say the word rega in about a quarter of a second. Whereas to say the word rega in about a 16th of a second is pushing it a little bit. So you got to be quick to be able to say that. Anyway. That's the so what happened at the time of Bilam?
The back of the bus.
Yeah. The So in fact, what happened there with Bilam is that he knew this time of day, he knew when HaKadosh Baruch Hu would become angry for one rega, and his plan was to curse Klal Yisrael in that moment. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a chesed for us, and during the time that Bilam was trying to curse, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not become angry on those days when Bilam tried to do the curse. And that's reflected in the pasuk that Bilam himself says, where he says, Mo ezom lo zoam Hashem. It says, Mo ekov lo kabo kel. How can I curse if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't curse? Mo ezom lo zoam Hashem. How can I become angry if Hashem doesn't become angry? Because the idea was HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not become angry at that time, so Bilam never had his chance. Tosfos on that Gemara asks Akasha. And we learn it. I did explain the connection to our pasuk. The Gemara quotes this pasuk: "V'keil zoim b'chol yom." Hashem becomes angry every day, and that's the basis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does become angry against Klal Yisrael for a short amount of time, b'chol yom, every day. And Bilam knew when that time was. Yedea das Elyon, he knew when that moment was. His plan: to curse at that moment. So Tosfos asks Akasha, how can he curse? What's he going to say? He's got a tiny amount of time. Even if you take the bigger time, about a quarter of a second, a bit more than a quarter of a second, how much can you curse in Gunson in that amount of time? That's Tosfos Kasha. So Tosfos gives two teretzim. One teretz is that all he had to say was the word kalim, destroy them. And he could get that word kalim in that split moment. He could get that word kalim, he had that word, get up and answer it. Tosfos gives a second shot. His plan was not to recite the entire curse in that moment, but just to recite the beginning of the curse at that moment. Provided he begins the curse at that moment, then he could continue the curse even after that moment has passed. That's how Tosfos learns. See, Rabbi Cooper told me many years ago that when it comes to these manim in halacha, like Krishma or Sosman Krishma, Sosman Tefillah, there is machlokus in the poskim as to what we mean by that deadline. Do we mean that you have to recite the whole of Krishma by the time of Sosman Krishma, or is it sufficient just to begin Krishma by that time, even if you take a bit longer to finish and you go over the deadline, as long as you started in time? So we paskin, of course, you must finish saying Krishma, you must finish davening by these deadlines, by these manim. But Rabbi Cooper said to me that according to the view that you only have to commence Krishma before Sosman Krishma, and you only have to commence Amida before Sosman Tefillah, that view comes from this Tosfos. It's based on this Tosfos that all Bilam was planning to do is to commence the Klala in that split second, even if he would then complete it later. Interesting. Rav Kippur was very excited to say that there are some poskim who will learn a halacha from this hanhaga of Bilam. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Velo heichin klei maves. He has. Oh, sorry, Yud Gimel. Im lo yoshuv, if he does not return, and we'll see who it is who does not return, Charbo Yiltosh, he will sharpen his sword, Kashto Dorach, he will bend his bow, as in bows and arrows, Vaychonaneha, and take aim. Direct it in the right, at the target. If he does not return, now the main thing to know on this pasuk is that it's actually fraught with machlokus. Im lo yoshev, if he does not return, who is it who does not return? And likewise, Harba Yiltosh, he'll sharpen his sword and he'll get his bows and arrows ready. Who's doing that? So Rashi learns Im lo yoshev, if he doesn't do teshuvah, if the Rasha refuses to do teshuvah, then Harba Yiltosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will, so to speak, sharpen his sword and get his bows and arrows ready to take aim against the Rasha. So that's how Rashi learns. The first half is talking about Rasha, second half is talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Metzudas David learns a little bit differently. It says Metzudas David, Im lo yoshev, if the person chasing me, if my enemies do not do teshuvah, if they don't turn back, if they don't stop chasing me, then what will they do? The likelihood is Charbo Yiltosh, they'll sharpen their sword, they'll get their bows and arrows ready to fire against me. So the Masudas David learns that the entire pasuk is referring to David's enemies. If they don't turn back from chasing me, then they'll start attacking me. Yeah, and the similar pshat is echoed in the Radak, who refers it directly to Sha'ul. The Radak, throughout the chapter, refers to Sha'ul all the time, that the enemy of David in this chapter is Sha'ul. And if Sha'ul doesn't turn back from chasing me, then he'll get his sword out and he'll try and kill me. The Tosfos Rid learns differently. The Tosfos Rid says, Im lo yashuv, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sorry, 1 minute, he says that the word im does not mean if. It's like an emphatic statement. Im lo yashuv, Hashem will not change his mind. And it goes back to what we've had about Kuma about Hashem Bapecha. Yes, what was that? Yeah, Pasuk Zayin, Kuma Hashem Bapecha. Arise up Hashem in your anger against my enemies. So now the Pasuk says, Im lo yashuv, he will not go back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not go back from his anger until Charbo Yiltosh, he sharpens his sword and he gets his bows and arrows out and he fires them against the Rishoyim. So Im lo yashuv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not go back from his anger against the Rishoyim until he gets to the stage of taking revenge against those Rishoyim, Charbo Yiltosh and Kashto Darach Vaychanenehar, until he actually kills off the enemies of Klal Yisrael. So several different pshatim on that, based on machlokes and about who's the subject of lo yashuv and who's the subject of Charbo Yiltosh. Interesting? Good. Pasuk Yudalet. V'lo heichin kalei moves, and he has prepared for him, just translating it literally, klemoves, instruments of death, chitzov, his arrows, thank you, his arrows, ledolkim yifol, he will prepare them for those who chase after. Dolkim is to chase after. We have that pasuk, we have that word, oh yeah, with lovon, that's it, at the end of Vayetse, Vayim lelovon, yeah, that's it, Vayim lelovon, it's chapter Lamed Aleph, pasuk Lamed Vav, in Vayetse, Vayim lelovon, ma pishi ma chatosi, Yaakov says, and what's my sin, what have you got against me, ki dolakto acharoi, you chased after me. And in fact, I saw somewhere, probably in the Art Scroll translation, that it's connected, of course, to Dalad Lamed Kuf, which means to set to light, Lahadlik Ne'er Shashavas. And it's.
That's what I'm saying. Oh! Flaming arrows, yeah.
Flaming arrows. Yeah. What? They set fire to an arrow?
Yes, that's what
Yes. Of course, the head of the arrow would be burning, and they would fire.
Oh, heated metal, you mean? Hot metal?
No, there was some soft material would be at the end of the arrow, and then they would fire it into a house at 100 yards away.
And it set fire to that. Never knew that.
Yeah,
I never knew that.
Oh.
I had a terrible upbringing. Yeah.
That's what I thought it was going to come.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Oh, well, if you. Okay, so now that pshat is actually brought by the Ibn Ezra, who speaks there about sharpening a sword in fire. I suppose if you heat up the metal of the sword, it makes the metal a bit more malleable and you can beat it out to an even finer degree of sharpness.
But it's stronger as well, forged.
Of course, of course, the metal will be stronger, yeah. And then you plunge it into cold water, don't you? From heat into cold.
It sets fire.
Yeah. Oh. But if you learn the pshat as posh pshat, that ledolkim are those who chase me, and yet it's got a connection to Dalad Lamed Kuf, which is to set fire. And I think I saw this in the Art Scroll, a fantastic translation. In English, it translates well, because you can say to be in hot pursuit. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice answer. It translates well into English as well. Now, Rashi says, so Rashi explains, what is the pshat of the Pasuk? V'lo heichim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the subject of this Pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares for him. For whom? For my enemies. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares the clay moves and the arrows to fire against my enemies. That's how Rashi learns. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always protect the tzaddik by preparing instruments of damage and death against the Rishoyim. The Metzudas David learns very differently. Yeah, the Metzudas David learns that V'lo Heichin, he has prepared them. My enemy is the subject of the pasuk. My enemy prepares these clay moves and so on to do damage to me. But it transpires V'lo heichen. He prepared them in the end for himself, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will turn the tables on the enemy, and whatever he's prepared to do damage against Klal Yisrael, damage he's prepared to do against me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will turn against him eventually, against himself. That's V'lo heichen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will prepare the enemy prepares them for him, prepares them to damage me, but V'lo heichen, Hashem prepares them ultimately for himself. Now this pshat is also echoed in, where is this, very interesting, this is echoed in the Medrash Rabbah on Megillas Esther, because in Megillas Esther the pasuk reads, I've got the pasuk here, Vayim HaMelech Le'Esim Perek Zayin Pasuk Beis. Vayim HaMelech Le'Esther Gam Bayim HaShini B'Mishnah Yayin. This is at the second feast. The Achashesh turns out and he says, Ma Hashem Asech Esther Malka V'Sinos Enoch.
One minute.
I'm sorry. Something wrong there. Chapter Vav, Pasuk Dalet, wrong place. Here it is. Chapter Vav, Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer Hamelech Mivachos. Of course, this is at the night time when Achashverosh has the Divayomim read to him. Vayomer Hamelech Mivachos. Who's outside? Vahamon Balachatabis Hamelech Achisenor Leimel Hamelech. Hamon came to tell the king to say what? Lislo says Mordechai al Ha'etz, to hang Mordechai on the gallows Asher Hechinlo that he had prepared for him. Says the Gemara in Megillah Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. What's this heichin lo? Lo heichin. He prepared them for himself. That even though the Haman was thinking he's preparing them for Mordechai, in actual fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had it the other way around. Lo heichin. Now, our pasuk has exactly the same lashon. The lo heichin. Yeah? He's prepared them for himself. Now, based on all of this, we find in Maseches Sofrim, every 2 seconds in Maseches Sofrim. Oh, it's in Perek Yud Ches Halacha Kaf. That in fact this chapter of Tehillim, this capital of Tehillim, is the Shir Shayom for Purim. And the Vilna Gaon has got a whole thing about different which days are the special days with a special Shir Shel Yom. Every Yom Tov has got its own Shir Shel Yom. We don't. And there are some shuls actually recite a special chapter to Tehillim according to the minhag of the Vilna Gaon. When the Vilna Gaon took this on as a minhag, based on that piece of Maseches Sofrim, that this is the Shir Shel Yom for Purim, and we'll see a few more references to Purim as well. So that, and one of them is this one: V'lo Heichin, prepared for himself. So we've got Aloitz Asher Heichin Lo, which the Gemara defines lo heichin, prepared for himself, and that's the lashon of this pasuk for lo heichin. So, and that is also brought in the Medrash Rabbah in Megillas Esther. In the Medrash Rabbah, it's in Perek Yud Ospeis that it's a reference to Haman for the gallows that he had prepared actually for himself. Good. Yeah, pasuk Tesvav.
One can't make things simpler. It's an imlo yashur. If the enemy doesn't do sure, doesn't repent, then the consequences are Charon Yotok, he's got to sharpen his sword, he's going to direct his arrows, and he's going to prepare himself the weapons of destruction, Kitzob with Eric and Yifov. You know, it's all referring to the enemy.
That is, I've got it in my notes, that is exactly how the Mesudas David lands. That's the Pshat of Mesudas David lands. This is the stages that
all these things will follow because he will do it.
Yeah, that's how the Mesudas David lands. So these are the actions that the enemy will carry out in chasing me. Yeah, that's right. That's the Mitzvah Stavis Pshat. Others learned, no, it's a reference to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do against the Rasha if he persists in his rishus. Okay, we now come to probably the hardest possible in the chapter. Possible Tesvav, how to translate. Hine Tesvav. Hine Yechabel Oven. Behold. Now, Yechabel is a reference to pregnancy.
Huh?
Pregnancy.
Pregnancy.
Yeah, Yechabel, Chevle Leidah, the pains of giving birth. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you the translation. I copied it directly from the article. Hine Yechabel Oven, behold, he conceives iniquity. Vahora Omel, and he is pregnant with evil schemes. Vyolad Shoker, and he brings forth falsehood. So what David HaMelech is doing here is he's giving a moshel to pregnancy. conception, pregnancy, birth. Three stages. And all of them, in this particular case, is a reference to the evil deeds done by the Rishoyim. They start off by conceiving evil, then the pregnancy is also evil, and then the birth is also evil. Then all three are bad. And he's, as Rashi says, it's all expressions of birth. And he quotes the pasuk from Shir Hashirim, Pekches Pasuk Hei, where we have Shama Chiblosecha Imecha. There your mother was in birth pangs. Chiblosecha is a reference to giving birth. So Yechad Aloven is conception, and Hora is pregnancy, and Yolad is giving birth. So
yeah, mom, you read this word, this Pasuk Ches Bet Lamed. Chablamim is an infiltrator, somebody comes.
Terrorist.
Oh, no. From infiltrator, as in conception. Infiltration, so to speak.
Infiltrator.
Oh, that could be for the damage, because a chevel is damage. Damages, damage. People do damage. Oh. So Rashi explains on this. Rashi explains on this pasuk that if you've got an evil beginning, then no good will ever come of it. He says whatever the Rasha does, if he's got bad intentions and bad plans and bad actions, no good will ever come of it. And that's the pshat here, that this conception is oven, which is bad, and then the pregnancy is bad, which is omol, and then the birth is also bad, and that's sheker. So everything is bad about this. And then the Rashi brings an aphorism. Kol ma de shikra molid pechsa nasva. I hope I put it correctly. Whatever falsehood gives birth to, in other words, if falsehood, something bad gives birth, then whatever it gives birth to is also bad. Pechsa nasva, depletion will take it away. In other words, if you have sheker giving birth to something, it'll eventually be depleted. Nothing will come of it. That's the idea. Whatever, if it starts bad, it ends bad. That's how Rashi learns. The Radak, sticking to his pshat on the whole chapter, that everything is a reference to Sha'ul, the Radak says that these three stages of Yechabel, Hora, and Yolad are referenced to three different actions. He says that the Heroyon is a reference to Machshava, where Shaul's intentions to do bad against David. Chevrei Leda is a reference to the things that Shaul said badly about David. Says thought, Machshava, now Dibur, what he said bad against David. And finally Leda, the birth, things that he did bad against David. So there's Machshava, Dibur, and Maaseh. That's how the Radak learns, and he relates it all to things that Shaul thought and said and planned and actually did against David. Yeah. Good. The Tosfos Rid says that all this refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the evil that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do against Rishoyim. Hinei Yechabel Oven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish them for their evil, for Hora Omol, and he'll make bad things happen to them, Yola Shoker, he'll make bad things happen to the Rishon. That's how the Tosfos Rid learns Pshat in this Pasuk. It's the bad things HaKadosh Baruch Hu does against the Rishon. Pasuk design. Ber Kara Vayach Perehu, he dug a pit, Vayach Perehu, and then he dug it a little bit more, Vayipol B'Shachas Yifol, and then he falls into the abyss that he himself has made. Now, this is so the pshat is basically that the Rasha digs a pit in order to do damage to someone else, but then he himself becomes the victim of that pit. He falls into it himself. The Ibn Ezra and the Malbim both point out that we have here two different words here for digging. Ber Kora, he dug a pit, that's the word Kora, followed by Vayach Perehu, digging a little bit more. So the Ibn Ezra starts off by explaining that he digs a pit, that's Kora, and then Vayach Perehu, he extends the pit by digging yet more deeply into the earth. The Malbim proves it by quoting a pasuk, the pasukim about Yitzchak digging the wells, where the pasuk says by Yichru, there's that root same as Korah, by Yichru Shom Avde Yitzchak Be'er. That's the beginning of digging a pit. By Yichru is the beginning of the digging, and then later on in Parshas Toldos it says Alodos HaBe'er Asher Choforu. So the beginning, this first stage of digging is Vayichru, Korah, and then the latter stage of digging is Choforu, Vayachperehu. So that it's an extension, it's the additional digging which is done. The Radak again points out that this is a reference to Shaul, how Shaul planned to kill David with the sword. He went after David several times and tried to kill him with, wanted to kill him with the sword. And in the end, what happened? That Shaul himself was a victim of the sword. He either he fell on his sword or he was killed in battle by the sword. But Machlok is how he died. But he himself died by the sword. He wanted to kill David. He wanted to dig the pit for David, and he himself fell into the pit. He wanted to kill him by the sword, and he himself died by the sword. The Medrash Chetov quotes this pasuk as being a reference to Haman. Again, another Purim reference. That Haman wanted to dig the pit to trap, to kill Mordechai, and then eventually all the Yidden, and then he himself became the victim. He himself was the victim of the story he had his comeuppance exactly as he planned to do against Mordechai. He himself was hanged. The Radak also points out an interesting thing, that the word Vayipol is in the past tense. He fell into the abyss. Yet it's really a nevuah. The enemy who tries to do damage to us will eventually become the victim of his own plans. So it's really a future tense. Why is it in the past tense? And the Radak points out this is a common thing in nevuahs, that many nevuahs which are really in the future are expressed in the past tense. You find this in many Mephoroshim, many of Rishonim throughout Tanakh say this. Nevuahs which will happen are still written about in the past tense as though they have already happened. Why? Because they're such a certainty. It's as though they have already happened. That's why Vayipol is in the past tense. He's already fallen in. The Malbim quotes a pasuk in Koheles, Perk Yud Pasuk Ches, which is very similar to this pasuk. Chofer gumot bo yipol. He who digs the pit shall fall in it. And knew there was a pasuk like it in Koheles. I couldn't remember the pasuk, and the Malbim found it for me. Chofer gumot bo yipol. He who digs the pit shall fall in it himself. Good. Okay, pasuk Yud Zayin. Yoshuv amolo verosho. Amol means evil. We had that before. Vahara Amol. Amol, it literally means work, but it's really a reference to Tarverus. Yoshev Amol Verosho, his evil shall go back upon his own head. Again, the enemy who plans all this evil against me, that evil should go back onto his own head. Va'al Kado Chamoso Yered, and his own violence should descend upon his own skull. So, similar possibly to the previous one, what the damage he plans to do should eventually go back onto himself. That's the idea. The Alkot Me'amiris relates this word Amolo to the previous pasuk, digging a pit. It's hard work to dig a pit, which is why it justifies this word Amolo. Yoshev Amolo, all the hard work in digging the pit and in shoring up the sides, eventually all that earth should collapse upon Verosho, should fall upon the head of the Rosha. That's how the Alkot Me'amiris points out. Amolo, hard work. Yeah, the hard work that he does, all his achievements, his hard efforts should all descend upon himself. Ode Hashem Ketzidko, Yevches, Ode Hashem Ketzidko, I shall thank Hashem according to his righteousness, Va'azam Rashem Hashem Elyon, and I will sing praises, or sing to Hashem, the name of Hashem on high. So Rashi points out that Dr. Melech is saying here, I praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he judges the Rishoyim. That's Ode Hashem Ketzidko. All his tzidkus towards tzadikim accompanied by his punishments to the Rishoyim, and that's what I sing praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Ode Hashem Ketzidko. I thank him for dealing with the Rishoyim on our behalf. The Alkot Me'amnois points out that this Ode is an expression of singing. That's vocal praise, whereas Va'azamra is an expression of playing a musical instrument. I don't just sing, but I also accompany it with musical accompaniments as well on instruments. Va'azamra Shem Hashem Elyon.
Good.